Are you feeling lost? Well, you've come to the right place.
Welcome to Lostish,
where we,
Rose Chachko
and Emanuela Kafoutakis,
share what it's really like navigating your 20s.
We're two semi-lost girls figuring out careers, relationships, wellness, purpose, and everything in between.
Each week, we dive into the highs, the lows, and lessons of chasing your dreams, finding happiness, and learning to embrace the uncertainty.
We're not here to pretend like we've got it all together.
We're simply just figuring it out with you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Lostish Podcast.
So we have our very first special guest on the pod today.
Yes, a very, very special guest, somebody who I have known for literally a decade, my best friend, the wonderful actress superstar, Sophia Pennington. So, Fee and I have known each other for many, many years now, and you also may recognize her from a few shows. She has done many, many things, and some include Lacey on Home and Away. She has been a part of The Deb, which is Rebel Wilson's film that premiered at TIFF last year, and you may also recognize her from Channel 7's Roast Night. But most of you will know her. From Home and Away, and she's here with us today to talk everything about acting, relationships, lifestyle, mental health. She's here to answer all the tea,
which we know is something that you guys have been wanting for a while, and we've been wanting a guest on for a while, so we thought who better
than the one and only Sophia Pennington.
Yay! Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. I've been wanting to
time to coordinate for way too long.
I know, the second Rose told me that she was doing a podcast, I was like, get me on one day. And then the day came and I was like, whoa, I'm actually feeling a bit nervous. I was like, this is my first podcast I've ever spoken on ever, so
and it's not the last. It's not the last, but we can claim that Fia has been on Lostish, and that's her first podcast, which is a big claim to make. Mm-hmm. We are so excited to have you, Fia, and
thank you,
it's been a long time coming. And you know what? I reckon. Okay, I'm going to give a little introduction on how we kind of met, how I know you, and then we're going to lead into the yummy stuff. So, Fee and I have known each other for a very long time. We've known each other for about like 10 years, 9 years. Now, it'll be 10 years next year, I think. And we met in America doing an acting program and we just like hit it off straight away. Fee lived in Singapore at the time. I obviously lived in Sydney. And we lost contact for a few years and then got back into contact. But we've always kind of always been in each other's lives. And then we both met each other at drama school. So we both got into the same course at NIDA. And that was fate bringing us together.
100%
again.
Fate. Yeah. 100%.
100% fate. And
I remember you texting me being like, did you get into NIDA? And I was like, yeah. Did you? Like, it was before we even saw each other. Like, you somehow
crazy.
Knew.
That's wild.
It's actually a fate thing. Like, it's a universe bringing us together.
100%. I fully believe that. Every single person that comes into your life is part of your path.
Oh, 100%. You know, reason, either, season, or lifetime.
Yeah, reason, 100%. Season, or lifetime. 100%. For sure. And, we've basically been on this kind of journey together. We're obviously, Fee and I are both actors. Emanuela knows all about our troubles and our, mental breakdowns when it comes to the wild industry we're in. But I kind of want to hand it over to you, Fee, and give you a platform to give yourself a little introduction and tell us a little bit.
That's not just acting related.
Not acting related, everything related.
Anything.
Because
fun fact.
Yeah.
Fun fact. Anything. Okay, well, thank you for the intro. That was a beautiful intro. My name's Sophia and I'm an actress and Rose's best friend. I think you explained it very well. We met a long time ago and we've kind of been in each other's lives for a while and now I've met the beautiful Emanuela.
We did at a sleepover.
At a sleepover that
we ended up having a sleepover by mistake.
Yeah. By mistake. And
Once again, bonding.
Fate. Once again, fate. Yeah, but no, I've been in the arts for a very long time. I kind of started off in, dance and like music, singing. Then I went into a bit of theatre, the musical theatre.
And you did The Sound of Music, the touring production.
Yeah,
of
I did do The Sound of Music. Oh my goodness. I was like, wow, what was I there? Like 14, I did The Sound of Music, like the West End tour when they came to Singapore. I did that. But always been fascinated by the arts and in the creative fields. I will say, I think you have to be one of a kind to be in this industry.
Absolutely.
But it is a roller coaster, but it's very rewarding. So. Yeah.
And you love it. Like, I just know you love it so much.
I love it.
And you, 100%. You are not built to do anything else but this.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that.
I think that applies to both of you. Yeah. No, seriously.
And I think that, like, some people later on, and I think that everyone's got a creative side to them, 100%. And I think that some people kind of know what they want to do at a very young age, mm-hmm. and some people kind of find it, you know, later on in life. But I think for me, I was always just attracted to telling stories and exploring humanity and all of that jazz. So yeah, now I'm here.
We need to get Emmanuel onto the acting bandwagon.
Oh,
you need to become
I'm more than happy sitting on the outskirts and being friends with all of you. It's great.
I feel like you're by default just a part of it because you have just seen so much of it.
I am surrounded by a lot of creative people, and it's so fascinating to watch. I mean, I am in like
the media industry. Yeah.
Creative industry. I've done about 50 different jobs in the creative industry.
Yeah.
Acting is not one of them.
That's okay. We're all a bit batshit crazy.
We're all a bit batshit crazy. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We need an outlet to express ourselves and all the shit that life throws at us.
It's all right. I'm okay to hear all your shit, guys. Yeah. I'll take it.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. And, yeah, you've been doing it for so long now, and that's why you'd be the best person to talk to. And I want to kind of – you kind of answered this, but, like, what kind of first drew you to acting, and then what kind of led you to do Home and Away? Because that was a big decision for you to make because there were other things going on in your life. You had just premiered The Deb with Rebel Wilson in – was it Toronto?
Yeah, Toronto, yeah.
And, you know, you had a lot of interest from that and it was kind of all happening for you. And then you booked Home and Away and you were like, oh my goodness, like, what do I do? Like, how do I go about this? So yeah, the kind of beginning journey for you, what made you first like start acting and then how it is for you now on making that
how
decision?
How I got first started acting, because a lot of people have asked me this question, but like there's not a necessarily specific answer. Like as I said, since I was young, I kind of was all, I did the whole dance thing, which I know a lot of people do. But I do have one core memory of when I was in kindergarten and I couldn't get up in front of the class at all. Like I had no confidence. I was the most scared little girl in the world. And so my mum decided to put me into speech and drama lessons so I could start to speak to my friends and make friends in class and to get up and say my weekly news. We did that. Did anyone else do that?
I love that.
Do you remember that? So because I was so scared and I just refused to do it, like I wouldn't go to school, my mom was like, let's put you into speech and drama lessons and see if she can build some public speaking confidence.
That's crazy.
So that's where it happened.
So she wasn't always a loud actor, drama kid. She had to be forced into it.
I had to be forced into it. My mom forced me into those classes. No, but then it's kind of started from there. And then I started speech and drama and I kind of found a love for that. But at the same time, I was also a dancer. I played piano. I sung. So
triple
I think
threat.
Performing really gave me a lot of fulfillment. And then that kind of, you know, dribbled into acting specifically. And I was honestly, until NIDA, I wasn't 100% sure if I wanted to do on-screen acting or stage acting or focus on music. But I think that's the beauty of the creative field is that you can do it all and you kind of just got to go with the flow and, you know, if there's not.
That's actually very interesting. I fully agree.
Yeah. And even writing. So I think that's where it started for me. And, you know, then I would kind of do all the school productions and all of that kind of stuff. And I loved to tell stories and express myself through that and
yeah.
sing and all of that and perform.
Oh, it's such an art. Yeah. Can I just say, when I look at actors, because I've tried myself in the mirror from like a young age to like force myself to cry and see, like, I can't do it. So like looking at people in that act is fascinating to me.
Yeah,
like,
I know
anything.
I know, but I like, I find it so fun where you can explore humanity of a character or a certain human being from a certain period of time, mm-hmm. and bring your truth and yourself to it and just explore all of that. Because, I mean, I find human beings so fascinating and emotions and all of that. And
it's really psychology, right? It's really the psychology of a human being. And I think acting forces us to dissect the human brain so 100%. Much. Why am I feeling like this? Okay, why is the character saying this in this particular moment? Why am I acting this way?
Yeah.
A great acting teacher of ours, Les Chantry, always used to say this to us at drama school: why now? Like, why is the character saying this now? Mm. Why are you saying this now? Which is a really, really important part of, I think, authentic storytelling, is like, why didn't the character say this 2 seconds ago? Why are they saying it in this moment? And for you as Lacey, you obviously having conversations with you, you feel so connected to her in a lot of ways, and she forces you to bring out this side of you that is really beautiful to see. It's that feisty, it's that powerful, that independent woman, you know, who has been through so much in her life. So what did it mean for you to book a character like Lacey?
Well, booking Lacey was actually a really interesting story, because when I first got the brief for her, I just thought she was the most fun character ever. She, you know, she's a river girl. She's a bad girl. She has a lot of edge. She's, you know, got a shit ton of trauma and been through so much. And I kind of saw her as a version of myself that I would like to step into more. Mm. And usually when I do tapes and audition for things, my, you know, a dream of mine or a goal of mine was to be able to step into a character like that with edge, and is actually quite different to me. And it's really interesting because a few people have said this to me on the cast, like, Lacey is very different to Sophia. Like, she is. And I feel like a lot of the time when you first kind of book your acting roles for the first time, you're kind of playing yourself. Have you heard of that? Like, you know, you're playing yourself and you bring a lot of truth. But I found with Lacey, I've had to really be like, no, this is, I'm playing Sophia right now, or I'm like, no, backtrack. With Lacey, when I'm on set, I have to kind of be like, is this what Lacey would do, or is this what Sophia would do?
Yeah.
But it's been so much fun for me to kind of explore a character that is different for me. And
that was going to be my next question. Like, how different do you think you are from Lacey?
Well, Lacey has no filter. Like, she is, she'll speak her mind. She has a lot of edge to her. She's feisty, super independent. And she also has a lot of feistiness, like a lot of feistiness. And for me as Sophia, like, I'm someone who is still working on speaking my truth all the time and just saying how I feel and finding that strength and that power and in conversations and things like that.
So Lacey's like your fake it till you make it.
She's like my alter ego.
Yeah, she's like my alter ego.
No, literally. So it's really cool and it's really fun and it's really empowering to play a character like that.
And
it's,
can I
really
just
fucking empowering.
Say, like, Lacey has honestly, I think, brought actually a lot of light into your life.
Oh,
I think
100%.
Like, you booked that role at such a crucial stage of your life. And you can talk about that a bit more, but a lot was happening. You know, you were obviously being recognized in America after TIFF. You had the Deb going on. You were also going through heartbreak and a lot of stuff in your, a lot of things in your personal life. And there was a lot of change.
There was a lot of change happening. And when I first auditioned for it, I didn't actually think I did very well, and I wasn't in a good headspace actually when I first did. Auditioned for Lacey. And then when I got the chemistry read, it was actually the day that I was leaving to go to Toronto for TIFF. Wow. And they had to move it a day earlier so I could go in. And I think I was the first person that they saw. And then when I went to Toronto, I did TIFF and I went to New York. And I woke up the morning after the Deb premiere at TIFF to the news that I booked Lacey. And I was shocked. And to be honest, I had
a lot of FaceTime with me.
I was on FaceTime with you, and I had a lot of imposter syndrome. I was like, "What?" Because I thought that I did a really shit job. And I've heard a lot about that with actors. Like, I walked out, and I was like, "Yep, I flipped that." Like, I didn't.
You book it when you least expect it.
You really book it when you least expect it, and I truly think that that's an energetical thing. But making that decision to take the role and embrace Lacey was one of the best things that I've ever done.
Yeah.
So she's been very healing in my life in many ways.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Healing through
through art. We love it.
Acting.
This is the thing. It's like, this is why I love doing what I do so much, is because it heals my inner child. And it's almost like that voice that I felt like was silenced for so long. Same with you, right, Fee? It's like we now have an outlet to express that in another light and actually be commended for it and appreciated for it and seen. And it's just a really beautiful thing, and seeing you flourish through Lacey has just been really beautiful. And you actually mentioned something really interesting about imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
I want you to elaborate a little bit more about that, because as actors, even as non-actors, I feel like you, Emanuela, face imposter syndrome all the time working in the field, that whether it's modeling or social media or like at any point in your life.
Well, yeah, what is the definition of imposter syndrome?
That's a great question.
Definition of imposter syndrome. Well, imposter syndrome is when you feel like an imposter in a space and you feel like you don't belong, or you feel like you're not enough and you're surrounded by everyone. You kind of feel out of place, or, you know, like you don't deserve it or the success. Like, there's a lot of things that goes into it. For example, like when I was on set for the first time doing 10 pound poms, I felt like a complete imposter. Yeah. And I was like, I'm surrounded by so many successful people who are big names. Like, and me, little Rose's first acting job, you know, I'm like, I felt like the biggest imposter. But you know what? Every single person, even the ones with the millions of followers, the ones who are very renowned,
everyone feels like an imposter. Everyone goes through it. Everyone feels it. And it's that I think also, you know, trying to step into a place where you've wanted to be for so long, and then it kind of all happening at once and all happening at full speed, you do get that effect. Like, you kind of like, wow, you know, like, and as you said, you felt it on 10 pound poms. Like, we all feel it.
How did you navigate it? Like, that first day on set.
That's important to talk about, because I think even me and Rose, I know this about you, but me and Rose are also like, I think we're going to have that moment, because obviously now a lot of our listeners are like friends and family, and if we ever do reach the audience that we're hoping to reach, I think we're going to have that same like shock
feeling. Be like, what?
That'll be like, oh, okay, we've gotten what we want.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do we navigate this? So since you've been there, give people the goods.
It's actually really interesting, because I had to come back. I was in New York when I booked Lacey, and I had to fly back early because I was literally on set like a week later shooting. That's how also fast-paced this industry is. Like, you can book something and be on set the next day.
Yeah.
So I pretty much had to drop everything, get on an earlier flight, and I went from the airport to the studio.
Yeah,
I remember and that was my first day. And I, because, you know, with jet lag and getting off of a flight, and it was such an intense time, I was kind of like, what is going on? Going through the motions. I was like, I cannot believe I'm here. This is incredible. I'm so grateful. And it was only kind of more into it that I was really able to be like, wow, like, I'm here and I deserve to be here. And I think that's part of imposter syndrome, is that feeling of not feeling worthy to be there yet. So I had to really work with myself and be like, no, I do deserve to be here. I am worthy. I have worked very, very hard. And all of these people who I've seen and I've looked up to are now my friends and my co-stars. That's really cool. And Home and Away is really one big family. So they really helped me feel super belonged and just made me feel at home there. And that is the best part about it, is the cast and the people at Home and Away, because that's what made me move out of that kind of feeling of imposter syndrome. And feeling comfortable.
Wow. Yeah. I love that. I love because that actually doesn't happen often is you on set, you get a lot of different characters of types of people, right? Even the crew. And a lot of the times, like, it's not one big family and there's a lot of ruckus and there's a lot of drama and gossip, I guess, like in every industry, right? And I just think it's really beautiful. Yeah, you know, in life. I think it's really beautiful that you found a second family within your home and away people. And I've met a few of them and they are very, very beautiful people.
And it's weird because, like, you know, I came in and Home and Away is a machine. It's a machine. We film every single day, 6 days a week, most of the time, and the hours are insane. And, you know, there's people coming in and out for sure, but you're with each other all the time. And I think having someone come into that is like, it just, here you go, here's another person to join your family, whether you like them or not. And the amount of love and warmth they got from everyone and how much everyone has been there and just picks everyone up. It's so supportive. It is so beautiful. And I've said this before and I'm so grateful for everyone in that cast. And I will say it again because it is really beautiful. And I think being in an environment and in a show like that in such a fast pace, show, it's really important to have good people around you and to have that support.
In any work, it's important. Like, your work environment can diminish whether you enjoy the job or not. And especially 100%. In an acting job where you're with them 24/7 and literally have to, like, portray characters to each other in an intimate setting sometimes. Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's very important that you do need to get along with these people.
And build some sort of rapport or relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so it's good
that you've got that.
Yeah, and it applies in every workplace. I think, you know, in every situation in your life, the people around you really make an impact on how you overall are feeling, and it's so important that you're surrounding yourself with the right people and, you know, and the energy that's around you.
100%.
And I think that leads me to my next point is that mental health is a huge thing. Right? Mental health. We haven't spoken about mental health. No, not at all. And it's something that I feel very, very passionate about, something that I've had to deal with in my life, something that I think we all have had to deal with in our lives at some stage. And I want to ask you, when it comes to your mental health and being on set and balancing the two and balancing your own personal life with your work life, because Home and Away is such a huge commitment. Like, you are on set at 4 a.m. working till 7 p.m. every single day. Maybe you get 1 or 2 days off, but in those 1 or 2 days off, you're learning scripts or you're doing press or you're preparing for the next scene.
Or and just trying to do my washing and
Or be a normal human
or breathe. See friends.
Having to navigate people not now viewing you as a normal human
because
now you're in the spotlight. So it's a lot of mental health toll.
I don't see myself as being the spotlight at all. I'm just like, I see what you do. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm just a kid every day on set, just being a little kid every day. I mean, that's a really big question. That's a great question. I think, look, I love my job and I think that I'm very privileged to be able to be in such a beautiful position and be able to, you know, work my dream every day. But I'm not going to lie, it's been a huge transition in my life, a huge transition, and I've had to navigate that, and I've had some pretty incredible people around me to help with that. But I think, and it's funny that you asked me that, because right now my character has been doing some pretty intense, sad storylines as well. And I think as well, when as an actor, when you're every single day going in and, you know, you're doing intense emotional storylines and you're getting to that place every day, crying, panic attacks, whatever it is, your body doesn't really fully know the difference. Like, your head does, but your body doesn't, you know. And so I've had to find tools and ways that I can leave that at the door when I leave set to make sure it doesn't start to trickle into my personal life at all. Not that I'm saying it's method or anything like that. I think just when you are doing 12 scenes a day and you're kind of in that headspace for 12 hours and then you go home and then you do that 5 days a week, that can start to just be extremely mentally exhausting.
So what are some of the things you try and do to make sure that doesn't happen?
Well, I think one...
She bought her journal today.
She bought her journal. I did bring my journal.
I mean, journaling, there's lots of things. And I've been doing some quite a lot of inner work this year as well. And I have a few tools. I mean, one, journaling. I think time for myself is really important, and that's where I struggle with relationships and friendships, I think, with Home and Away, because you, when you're on set, you're socializing the whole time, you're talking to people, you're acting, you're around everyone, and you come home and you need that recharge time. And when you've got 1 to 2 days off a week, sometimes it's more, but for me, my personal experience, I've barely had time off. You really need time to recharge and do those things that you need to do for yourself to kind of wind down and slow down, so you don't burn out on both ends. And I think for me, I've kind of gotten to the routine of, I mean, I love working out. So I think, you know, getting in the sun, going for walks, making sure that I'm putting boundaries up with people and just being truthful to what I need. And if that means that I need a whole day to myself, then that's kind of what I need. And I've found that my social life with this job has declined incredibly because I've had to spend more time like on by myself on my times off, and take that time to do all the things that I need to do and recharge and self-care and give myself self-care and love.
I was just going to ask as well, how have you found with friendships that people, like, just curious, have people, like, changed their attitude towards you at all? Have you realized any differences in terms of, like, jealousy now that you're, you know, working your dream or anything like that?
Love that question.
It could be more love.
Love that question.
It could be, you know.
Because
me and Rose have touched on this
yeah.
in our episode last week about tall poppy syndrome. But I'm just curious because...
Interesting, yeah. I wouldn't say that I've experienced... Oh, yeah. I have. I just, like... I mean, I have in certain ways, and I know I've talked about this with you and, like, you know, we all have. I think I've experienced, obviously, jealousy in certain ways, and it's a normal human emotion. We all feel it. We all get jealous. We all have jealousy, and I think... whenever I have some sort of negative energy around me, I just have to remind myself that's what that person is going through. That's nothing to do with me. Mm-hmm. But I've also been quite lucky because I do have very beautiful people around me. And one thing that I got really clear on with everything that I went through last year and this year is who I want in my life and the type of friendships and people that I want to surround myself with. And to be honest, that circle has gotten smaller and smaller. And mm-hmm. so I feel like I protect myself and my energy with a safe space around me.
Right into what we talk about.
Oh, dude,
a safe space around me. And so I wouldn't say that I've experienced too much, like, negative energy around that at all, or people treating me any different because I just haven't put myself in a place
to let those people in.
To let those people in, if that makes sense, in the first place.
Which is great advice.
Have you had people who have all of a sudden, like, because I've experienced this, when you've become successful, had people that never really gave a damn about you or what you do, and all of a sudden, like, oh my God, like, congratulations, you're on Home and Away, like, let's get coffee and cat, like, have you had that?
Yeah. I've definitely had that, and I think you can kind of tell when something's authentic or when it's not authentic. But I think, yeah, like, I always like to, and this is where I get bitten in the ass, but I always like to believe that everyone's intentions come from
me
love.
Me and you are the same. And this is the funniest thing that me and Rose talk about like all the time, because Rose and Sophia, and now I'm realizing that me and Sophia are the
we're
same.
Very similar.
Yin yang. I'm not.
People pleasers, fully people pleasers.
Yeah.
And Rose will just say it how it is, but in a good way. This is why you need both of you.
Yeah. That's why we work as friends.
Rose doesn't take any shit. She'll say it as it is. I love it.
We just purposely, I feel like, don't like confrontation, and we'll protect our energy so that it doesn't have to come in. And if it does, we're just too nice.
Yeah.
But
It's something that I'm working on, like being like, I'm way better now. But I, the people pleasing, the too nice sort of thing. It's something that I'm continuously working on. And I think that just comes from self-worth and trusting your gut. And that's something this year I've really, I think, have improved on, is listening to my gut and speaking from my truth with life and everyone around me. So, but yeah, but Rose is very good at it. You're very, very good at it. And I'm sure you're good at it too.
The thing is, it's weird because it honestly just depends on the environment I'm in.
Yeah.
Like if I'm in an environment where I feel like people's intentions aren't right, or like it's not my type of person, like I think you'll know. And I think my friends know exactly when I feel that way. But then again, I'm actually quite like, you know, I'm an actor. I can put on a front if I need to put on a front. And click, 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 click.
Don't trust the actors. Don't trust the actors. Maybe I'm giving you a different side to me right
maybe
now.
Maybe I don't know. Look, no, we're actually like it. I think as actors, we're very empathetic people. I think we feel so deeply, which is both a blessing and a curse. And this actually, I'm going to weave into relationships here, because I think we feel so deeply. And Fee, you have a heart of gold, and you are just like one of a kind. And I know in relationships and in friendships, like, you are a very, very good partner. You're a very, very good friend. I've experienced freaking shit friendships in my life, and never have I been in a friendship with both of you. With you, Emanuela, and with Fee, I can just, like, I can confidently say, like, I will have you in my life for the rest of my life. You're going to be the godmothers of my kids.
Oh, you know?
No, I'm not joking. And I say that with such sincerity, and I don't say that lightly, because I have a lot of trust issues when it comes with people. Like, and I'm still working on that, to be honest. I'm still very much so working on the trust issues. But in relationships, because we feel so deeply, how do you navigate –
when the heartbreak hits you just as much.
Yeah. How did you navigate working and heartbreak and having to build yourself back up? Because I think a lot of people can relate to that, and going through heartache and the wrong relationships and the right relationships. How do you navigate getting your heart broken in such a pivotal time in your life?
Wow.
It's a big one. It's a big one.
This is a touchy subject.
Yeah, I think that there's no right or wrong. I think heartbreak is part of life. I think we've all been through it. I think it's part of growing and learning. And I'll tell you what, like, it was definitely – I've been through a heartbreak in my life, and it was one of the hardest things that I ever had to go through. But at the same time, sometimes – you have to go through that to really find yourself. And I think that forced me to really, because that, like, heartbreak in relationships, any relationship, you know, it mirrors you. It really does. Yeah. And I was forced to kind of build myself up from the ground. And
I think it gave you a reality check, a big reality check.
Yeah, and really look inwards and develop, like, turn inwards and find that love for myself again. And that was a really beautiful experience that I had with me, myself, and I, and explore that slowly in a weird, strange, scary, great, fun way. I don't know. There's so many words. I mean, this topic, it's a huge topic, but yeah.
And what kind of things did you do to navigate, to get out of that?
Or, you know what? A lot of people say it's just time. Like, time heals, you just got to give it time.
I do think.
Do you agree with that?
100%. But I don't think that's the only key. I think it's 100% time. And I think everything that we do based on what we know in the moment at that time in our lives. And I think when you can come from a place of compassion and love in your actions and the other person's actions, then you can understand that that was – you know, at the end of the day, we're all just humans trying to navigate our life the best that we can.
Welcome to the motto of Lost-ish.
Yeah.
Literally.
Literally.
And that's, you know, that that's all we can do. And I think, what was your question? I have ADHD, guys.
So do I, and I forget.
How you navigate your heartbreak?
Oh, and how do you navigate time?
I think time is a huge one. I think there's no – everyone heals in their different time. In different ways and in their own time. But I think there's things that you can do, and it's sometimes it's really, really hard. And, you know, like I had – I've been seeing a therapist for 3 years, so I had worked through – with my therapist through heartbreak, and that was really great. Surrounding yourself with great friends, giving yourself hobbies, and really working hard on your passions and the other things that you find fulfillment and love from, and really challenging yourself to give yourself love every day, even when you feel like you don't deserve it, and showing up for yourself. That's, you know, and whatever that looks like for you.
So, and go no contact. Go no contact.
Go no contact.
Go no contact. Go no contact. She has a sip of her coconut water. I really agree with you in that, and that's the thing. It's like it is so important to have a really good network in your life,
mm-hmm.
because boyfriends, girlfriends, and friends come and go. Like you said, what was it? Season, lifetime.
Season, reason, or lifetime?
Season, reason, or lifetime. I really like that.
Where's that from?
I don't know. I heard it once and it stuck with me.
Either someone's in your life for a season, someone's in your life for a reason to teach you a lesson.
Oh, season or reason. Bam.
Or a lifetime.
Oh, wait, no,
bam.
Season's still temporarily. Or lifetime. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Like yep. that.
Or lifetime.
That's the one.
And I think heartbreak, as somebody who has gone through it myself, was probably one of the most painful things you can go through, but one of the best things you can go through growth-wise.
Mm, best, one of the best things I've ever gone through for myself,
for yourself.
Development and love.
Correct. Correct.
Journey.
I'm very proud of both of you.
Thank you. I'm very proud of all of you. I'm very proud of all of us.
Thank you.
Claps, 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 claps.
And, you know, it's part of the human experience, heartbreak. It ultimately is. And everyone goes through it, whether it not just in relationships and friendships.
It could be platonic,
and
it could be familial.
Grief, you know, with everything. And I think that it is part of life, and, you know, it's part of humanity. So
it's okay, guys. You're not alone.
You're not alone.
Oh, no one's alone.
Everyone goes through it. That's also something that helped me too, on a side note, knowing that everyone's gone through it.
Yeah.
So when I saw you come out of your heartbreak, I was like, I'm going to get through this.
Yeah.
You know.
And you don't think you are going to get through it in the moment. You genuinely think you're going to die.
Yeah.
Like, it is honestly, like, it's a whole wave of grief. It's a different type of grief, you know, and it's like you're grieving somebody that's still alive, really. It's really, really
And someone awful. Who knows all parts of you.
All
it's,
parts
it's,
of you.
It's almost like they say it's like a drug, like you know, all of your habits are linked with them. Like it's hard.
It's really
you're
hard.
Rebuilding.
Have you guys heard that somber song that came out recently? That's literally, I feel like the
yes. Oh, yes, such
perfect
a good song.
Depiction of
Summer
what we're talking
song,
about.
What?
Yeah.
You so would have heard it.
Yeah.
Which song?
How can we go back to being friends?
Friends, oh, yeah. Thank you, Fifi, for singing that for us.
It's like this, you have so many memories attached to this person and so much knowledge and just life, that it's like having you're perfect at explanation,
it's a perfect
having to
explanation.
Navigate that when they're literally still alive.
It's really hard, and honestly I don't wish it upon anyone, but I also do, because it is so formative for your life, and I'm not the same person, you're not the same person, and you're not the same person for having gone through some sort of heartbreak in your life, you know, whether it's romantic or familial or friendship or someone passing away, like whatever it may be. I think it's really beautiful to see you have come out from the other side, and
you know, you are thriving and glowing and navigating life. And although you have all these amazing things happening, you still feel lost, don't you, Fee?
Oh, like, absolutely.
You still feel so lost, and you are going to feel a little bit lost for the rest of your life.
One day I think I'm on top of the world. The next day I'm not. That's part of being in your 20s, and that's the beauty of life. Yes. No one's got their shit together. No matter how much you try.
Every single person we've spoken to and brought up our podcast whole, like, motto is like, wow, it's not just about navigating your 20s. It's about navigating your life, literally.
100%. It's about navigating your life. There's no right or wrong, you know. Even everything that I've said on here, I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a perfect person.
You've spoken very well.
My opinion
that
I have said on the amount of topics that we've spoken about today could change tomorrow. Do you know what I mean? So I'm just – right here, right now on a Saturday, this is where I'm at and this is where you guys are at, and that's
absolutely
beautiful.
Yay. Oh, well, I'm so, so happy. Honestly, like, it's been so amazing having you as a guest, and you're going to be back very
soon.
Sure. We're going to have Fee on the pod again.
You made the cut, Fee.
Yes. made the cut.
But we love you, and I love you very dearly, and we hope you guys have enjoyed the episode just as much as we have enjoyed making it. Yeah, chatting a whole heap of shit today.
Yeah, and literally. We hope – we've said this before, but take our episodes as therapy sessions. And go to therapy as well.
And go to therapy.
And you just want to chat and something to, like, you know, your comfort – show, listen to Lost Dish.
I just want to listen to a few girls just chat like they are on a sleepover.
Literally.
three girls chatting.
That's what it is. We're at a sleepover right now. That's
the mentality. Guys, thank you so much for having me. I love you both so much. And I love you. And it's been a lot of fun.
But tune in to the Lost Dish podcast, everyone. And please go and follow Fia on all socials at Sophia Pennington, and tune in to Home and Away Monday to Thursday.
Monday, wow.
Is it Monday? It's
you
Monday
sound
to Thursday.
Like Channel 7 I has employed you.
Monday to Thursday at 7 p.m.
At 7 p.m.
At 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. All right, guys.
We love you lots. Mwah. Give it a share, a love, whatever you like. We love you, and we'll see you in the next episode of
Thanks for watching
the Lost Dish Podcast.